Second Peter. We're going to stay in verse 9 and 10 for a minute, or 2 or 3. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to preserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Remember that the word temptations there is the word meaning put to the test for the purposes of approving, and he delivers you out of that test when you recognize that the test is not yours. That you are they that have continued with me in my temptations, as Christ said. Once that has happened, then that is what it means. He's delivered you out of the temptation or the test, because you, the purpose of the test has been realized. Doesn't mean you're going to, you know, in my case, like, doesn't mean it's going to stop hurting, but it means that the hurting now makes sense. And so therefore, whatever it is, so the moment you start complaining or whining, then it means that you haven't been delivered out of the temptation. Even though you know how, and the Lord has shown you how to be delivered out of the temptation. Does that make sense? The minute you think something is wrong, the minute you judge down another, the minute you, whatever it is, then he knows how to deliver you out of the temptation, because that's the instant that your attention, the subject of your sentence, goes to God instead of you.
I started to speak just as you did reading there before. I got a bad case of shingles, and I woke up, well, I didn't hardly sleep last night, but I woke up this morning with terrible pain. The choice, walk or not to walk, you know, I could lay there and I would have kept hurting. I walked, and I was halfway better by the time I got there, and right now I don't feel any pain at all. It's kind of I could have stayed home and whined about it.
Now, let's see if we can understand this better. He knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after. Now, walk here is a different word than we normally see for walk. Normally in the New Testament, when you see your walk, it means how your life is conducted. But this word for walk is porosomia. Porosomia. And it means to pursue a course of action. And then after means to join yourself to. But chiefly is critical here, because he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the ungodly for the day of judgment. And those he's reserving for the day of judgment are chiefly those that have joined themselves to a course of action, to an agenda, to a plan, because what you're doing then is you're joining yourself to an idol. Everybody, you got to get this, because you're going to do it 53 times today at a minimum. And the moment that you see that you've joined yourself to a course of action, that means you're worshiping an idol, you've joined yourself to an idol, then God demands that you repent, you turn from self. This is where you're going to get stuck. This is where you're going to get... This is the subtlety of the evil one. He's going to cause you 1,000 times in your... millions of times in your course of action, your course of life, to try to join yourself to some course of action some agenda, some plan, some idea. Some of you know a great deal about this because it's mostly all you've ever done. Because without a course of action, without an agenda, then what do I do? Right? I pray that you understand how serious this is. Because once you've joined yourself to a course of action, then you are operating, you've fallen from the strong city, you're in back into the kingdom of darkness, you've left the kingdom of light and freedom and joy and peace, and you've sold out for this course of action that you think is right and proper and good. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I do. This is like when you talk about you don't not plan or schedule or anything like that, but you don't join yourself to it. Because when you join yourself, then you kill somebody if they get way
out of you. I'm glad we're, you know, the way we live in the community ensures that, you know, even if we join ourselves to schedule, it gets kicked around and screwed up. Because, and that's one of the good things about community.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, people who don't do that can go for a long time, you know, without anything really, you know, to show that the schedule is scheduled.
God, I've been dealing with this for like 3 months.
I
hear it.
I work with somebody outside the foundation who does stuff for us, and I make up a schedule of the way, you know, when we're going to do certain things. And they take that those dates that I've artificially established and take them as the gospel and start getting all freaked out, you know, 10 days ahead of time because they're not going to make it and stuff. And I have to keep saying, it's just an artificial thing we've made up. You don't know. Isn't that funny? That wasn't actually my point. My point is that it's so funny that God would put that in my life.
Well, now it's going to start getting really bad. No, real bad. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Join yourself to a course of action that's based on the senses in the lust of uncleanness. Now, remember the uncleanness there is miasma. It's a word that's the same as meaning unclean when Christ touched the dead body, or when one of the disciples healed a leper, then they became unclean. And they had to be cleansed under the law by the waters, the ashes of the red heifer. Which, and I'm not going to go into. If you want, there's a jillion tapes about this. But now it's clean. You're clean by the word that he has spoken. Because the word that he has spoken, the word made flesh that is now spoken, you're cleansed the moment you totally repent from self. Not repent from the action. Presumptuous are they. Chiefly in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments. Now, do you understand? If you have a course of action to solve a problem, then you are denying that the problem was there and ordered by God. The same as the chief example of this is when Peter wanted to save Christ's life, and he looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest the things that be of men and not of God." So when you have joined yourself to a course of action in order to solve something, then you have despised the government of God. And you are presumptuous, you're self-willed, and you're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. The word dignities is the Greek word doxa. You're not afraid to speak evil of the glory of God. Has everybody got this? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that conduct their lives after a course of action that they've joined themselves to in the lust of uncleanness, because they've touched the dead body, you, yourself, despise the majesty or the lordship of Jesus Christ. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, for they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, or doxa, the glory of God. Now, this is a biggie.
That lust of uncleanness is like you touch the dead body with enthusiasm. It's not just casual touching, it's with
fervor. Oh, it's casual or lust. It's either one. Lust, the lust there just means wanting more than you have, or wanting something to change.
Someone play aggressive time.
I like my definition.
Well, because it gets you off the hook.
Not at all. It makes me greater, because when you come up with some idea, you get all worked up about it, think it's great.
Now, who would do that?
I don't know. Probably.
No, it's good for you, but normally the idea of just the idea that I have thought something was wrong. There's a problem to be solved. There's an issue to deal with. That's why I've said here for years and years and years, the most important thing that we think we're doing is no more important than the most unimportant thing. Is that clear to everybody? And I hope you understand it. I hope you see it. Does everybody understand this? Because the predicate here is it's finished. The predicate is Jesus is Lord. That means that everything is exactly as it should be. So therefore, no one, except by the Spirit of God, can say Jesus is Lord. You can say the words all you want to, but to say it means to say it and believe it and know it. Jesus is Lord. By definition, therefore, everything is exactly as it should be. Therefore, if I have a course of action to fix something or to solve something or to get something, then I am denying His Lordship. I am despising the governments of God. I'm not afraid to speak evil of the glory of God. I promise you, in hundreds and hundreds of ways today, this will come up. The question is whether or not you will repent. And it'll chiefly come up with regard to your ideas. Your schedules. Your ideas of the way things should be. Your idea of the way people should be. Now, people will say, well, when I read that, that's not what I see. What I see is it's if I'm down there whoring around and drugging out and that's just so you can see it clearly. But you've got to see it in the smallest, most intimate details of your life, in the smallest thought pattern. Because our only reason for being here is that we would be transfigured by the renewing of our mind. That we would bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So if you think you hear this and continue on in your course of action with a defined goal, then you haven't abandoned yourself. You're worshiping an idol. And I promise you, you are not loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself because you're giving breath to these other things. Now, this can only be done by the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, fruit of the Spirit is the personality and life of Jesus Christ. It's the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit isn't there, isn't realized, unless you abandon yourself because of His humility. He cannot and will not fight your efforts. He cannot and will not occupy where you are in the temple until it's too late to do anything about it. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. What it says literally is, shall in their destruction be, they shall be destroyed. In their destroying, they shall be destroyed. We're going to spend a lot more time on that, but I want you to understand that this thing about this, chiefly them that walk after, that join themselves to a course of action that's defined by the senses, and the lust of uncleanness, and despise, I look down on the governments, the authorities, the powers that be. How many times today are you going to do this? Go to Romans 13.
That's scary, that your self-will is actually speaking evil of God's glory. When you put it like that, it's like, wow.
Just think. This has to put... If this doesn't put the fear of God in you with regard to all your little crazy ideas of the way things should be, I don't know what will. To know that every time you judge down or think about somebody else, it should be different, or your situation should be different, that you're speaking evil or speaking down the glory of God. God help you. Anybody have any other response? This isn't a light thing. Remember, back to the Genesis. I will bless them that bless you. It's talking to Christ. He's the seed. And curse them, bitterly execrate them that consider you lightly. How many times have you considered His glory lightly? And you do that by thinking it down. And the way you think the glory of God down is to think someone else should change. Some situation needs to be different. Some idea I have is worth my breath. With all that in mind, listen to this. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers, or the powers, or authorities are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. Now you got to say the only thing you can do, which is good, is believe on Him who He has sent. Doesn't mean you define something that is good and then do it. He is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now therefore, the exhortation in the next verse then. But don't be as these, who as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not. What is a natural brute beast? It's one who operates on his senses. Now, please, 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 I beg of you, do not take this lightly. Anybody have any response? Now, the place this will come up more than anywhere else is in talebearing and gossip. Because you will speak evil of things that you understand not, and you will be convinced that you're right, and you will join yourself not only to the idea, but you will cause others to be joined to that idea. Everybody understand that? Oh, but this isn't gossip, because it's gossip, huh?
We're porch talking. That ain't gossip.
No, it's gossip. If you're talking about somebody that isn't there, there's only one exception that is allowed in the Scriptures. And that is when the elders are trying to solve a problem or solve a situation.
It seems like when you stuck out this morning, when you talk about judging somebody down, it seems like in that same conversation, you might not come out and say it, but you're actually, I think, when you're judging somebody or what they're doing, their actions, you're saying to yourself, well, you know, I don't do that. You know, you're elevating yourself.
That's exactly right.
You're talking about constantly, you're always saying, don't take this lightly. And, you know, we forget where that's coming from and why you're saying it, which is because you're trying to spare us a bitter execration. You know, it's like, don't take it lightly because of that scripture you read. You know, that's where it all comes from. It's not like, don't take it lightly because what I have to say is important or something like that. It goes back to that one point.
It goes back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is he Lord? Oh, sure he's Lord. Everybody says he's Lord. No. For you, he may be even chief among your gods. But thou shalt have no other gods before me. Oh, but family values are important. Well, but having a good government, we need to chase out the whoever your particular bent is. No, that's not our life. We're not of that. Is there anybody that has the slightest bit of questions or questioning or shadows of not understanding in this? Then you your silence is a witness against you. Okay. All right, take a big guy. Now, I want you to know I get to roll over my minutes.
No.
A minute and a half.
You don't need to go there.